Good evening. Let's read from Luke chapter 7. Luke 7, verse 36. Luke 7, we'll start at verse 36. A pastor preached last week about the parable of the sower and the seed. Probably my favorite parable. And whether this is a parable or not, it's a learning lesson for us about forgiveness and grace. Luke chapter 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace.
Open your Bibles with me, if you will, this evening to 1 Corinthians 11. I could go to several places, but I want to use this tonight. And I want to give some thoughts on the Lord's table. Some thoughts on the Lord's table. Or the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. That's what he called it. He called it a supper. Called it a supper. Called it a supper. Let me start reading in verse 23 down through verse 28. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, took a sip out of it, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death. You do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The apostles talking about, this is what the Lord taught me. I believe Christ taught me this, delivered this to me. And it says, and this is an astounding statement to me, there in verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, Judas went and sold the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, told him where he'd be, who he'd be with, and how to recognize him. But the same night in which he was betrayed, and he even said this, that there's one sitting here who shall dip his bread in salt, who'll betray me. And here on the day when the night that our Lord Jesus Christ is going to pray until his sweat become as great drops of blood, when he's all alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, saying, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. The same night that they took this Lord's Supper, when he took that bread and he took that wine and he broke it and took a sip from it and passed it out among his disciples. That same night when he done that, when they left that table, they come and got him when he went out into the garden, the same night in which he was betrayed. But let me tell you about this Lord's table, the Lord's Supper. First of all, it's a time for examination. Look what it says down here in verse 28. It's a time of examination. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And what this is telling us is, what do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is your interest in the Lord Jesus Christ? Not you examine your brother, not you examine your wife, not you examine the preacher, not you examine your neighbor, not to examine anybody else. Examine yourself. What's your relationship with Christ? What's His blood to you? What's His broken body to you? What is His death to you? And I want to show you over here in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Let's look at this and see what it says over here. When we talk about examining ourselves. Now, we're not examining ourselves to see whether we're worthy or not. That's not what he says. Let a man examine himself. You consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, the broken bread and the broken body and the shed blood. And he said here in 2 Corinthians 13:5, he said, examine yourselves. And listen to this now. Preachers always, they preach this thing, examine yourself. See whether you're worthy or not. See whether you're living good enough or not. See whether you're praying enough or not. See whether you're giving enough. See whether you're dedicated enough. See whether you're devoted enough. Examine yourselves like that. But that's not what he's talking about here. When he talks about examining yourselves, whether you be in the faith, to whether you believe the gospel. That's what that means. Examine yourself whether you believe the gospel. Are you in the faith? Did God save you by His grace? Did God make Christ real to you? Did God make Christ effectual to you? And here's the thing, prove your own selves. Don't prove nobody else. Prove your own selves. And that word prove means try yourself. Know your own selves. You know this for yourself, how that Jesus Christ is in you. And if He's not in you, you'd be a reprobate. And so that's what the apostle's talking about over here. Let a man examine himself. Do you, let me ask you this, do you as a sinner, Dirk read that, that this woman which was a sinner came to Christ, fell at His feet, wept like a baby at His feet, showered His feet with her tears, and I tell you, she was a sinner. Do you as a sinner believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for all your salvation? From sin, believing for your righteousness, believing for your eternal hope. Do you believe Jesus Christ is your all in all? That's what he's asking here. That's what he's asking. Examine yourselves. Is Christ in you? Is Christ who you need more than you need anything else in this world? You got to have him. And here's the second thing about it. Our Lord caused this to happen. Our Lord started doing this. It says here, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. Look what he says up there. In verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. They were sitting there eating the Lord's Supper, and he took bread. There's bread on the table. He reached and got bread. It's unleavened bread. This is the Passover he's talking about. And he reached and got a loaf of bread. It'd be a round loaf of bread, the way the Jews made it. And he picked up this bread. He picked up this bread. And then he says, and when he had given thanks, he himself said, Lord, thank you. For this bread. Oh, Father, thank you for this bread. Thank you for what you're fixing to do for your people by sending me to the cross. Thank you for this bread. He lifted up his heart and said, thank you. And then he broke that bread. He tore it apart, tore it into pieces, and he handed it, I don't know, to his right or to his left, I don't know, but he handed it to the disciples and said, as he break it, take, eat. This is my body. And just as I broke this bread, this is my body, broken for you. And his visage was more marred than any of the sons of men. What the said, we esteem him stricken. Oh, he was stricken. Oh, they struck him and struck him and struck him. But we esteem him stricken of God, smitten of God. But why was he smitten? For our transgressions, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. And everything that happened to our blessed Savior was for us. He said, this body and this bread is broken, take it, is broken for you. And that's another thing about it. Did you consider that the body of Christ was broken, beat to a bloody pulp, and suffered incredibly on that cross by the hands of sinful men for you? I believe it's for me. I believe His death was for me. I believe His body was beaten to a bloody pulp. I believe He hung on that cross. I believe His back was smitten and you could count the ribs on His back and the blood that flowed from His side. I can say, yes, that body was broken for me. You know why I can say that? Because I need Him more than anything else in this world. And thank God that that body was broken. Had it not been broken, then we could have not been saved. Oh, my. And all He said there in verse 24, oh, yes, this is my body which is broken for you. And then look what else it says about it. It's something for us to remember. And this is such a, oh, this touches me as such a, I've preached this, I couldn't tell you the times over the years, but still, it does something for me. And He says, do this, in verse 24, do this in remembrance of me. In verse 25, the last part, do this in remembrance. He told His disciples, says, you know, said, I'm going to go away. I'm not going to be with you anymore. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He'll come. But He said, from every time, from now on, every time you take bread, and every time you take that wine, that fruit of the vine, you remember me. You remember, here's the first thing I want you to remember, that I loved you. Oh, how I loved you. And remember this, that you were given to me of my Father. And remember this, that I came here to give my life for you. No man took it from me. No, nobody took my life from me. I've got the power, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power. You remember the great love that I loved you. Remember the words that I said to you. Remember all the times that I had fellowship with you and all the things that I taught you. Remember my love, my humility, my grace, my meekness. Remember my power, my willingness to do for you. Remember. Oh, remember. How? Remember. Remember when I crossed your paths. Remember when I called you by your grace. Remember when I called you by name. Remember what I did for you. Remember. Remember my sufferings. Remember my death. And all this was by the determinate counsel of God. It was God determined to do this for us. And oh, listen what else He says us here. Here in verse 26. Now look what He says now. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. Now listen. You do show the Lord's death till He come. we're preaching a sermon. We're preaching a sermon. When we take the bread and we take the wine, we're preaching a sermon. We're preaching that the death of Christ and the sufferings of Christ, the pain and agony of Christ, that the reason that He suffered, the reason He shed His blood, because He had no sins of His own. So He bare our sins in His own body on the tree, being put to death in the flesh, but yet quickened by the Spirit. And I tell you, by His stripes we're healed. And so we show the Lord's death. We're showing that our Lord Jesus Christ was who He said He was. That He was who He said He was. And that went, Lord, when I take this bread, I remember, Lord, I know that You shed, You broke, Your body was broken for me, and I know Your blood was shed for me, that You was bruised for my iniquity, wounded for my transgression, that God made You to be sin for me. And that wine, He said, listen, eat this bread and drink this cup. We take that cup, His blessed, blessed blood. And I tell you, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. We show who He died for. It's the first thing we show, who He died for. Now, it would not be right in any circumstances to preach that Christ died for someone and His death not be effectual. For whom He died, He's going to have. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. And everyone that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And then secondly, who He died for. Just look at yourself. Just consider yourself. Who He died for. Why in the world would He die for you? Why would he die for you? What can you contribute to God? What can you contribute to Christ? You going to make God any more holy? Going to make Christ any more righteous? Going to make his blood any more effectual? No, no. Look who he died for. Just look. Just consider yourself. Lord, depths of mercy? Can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can he, the chief of sinners, spare? And then we show the Lord's power of his death. The power of his death. You know how powerful Christ's death was? It was he had power enough in his death to lay down his life and take it up again. And power enough in his death to save every single soul God gave to him from Abel to the end of time. That's how much power is in his death. That's why we preach the gospel. There's so much power in the death of Christ that there's not a soul nowhere, if Christ died for him, that will not be saved by that death. Not a soul nowhere that will not be saved by that death. And oh, we show his blood. We do show his blood. And what did his blood do? His blood satisfied God. God has to be satisfied. His justice demands death for sin. Christ had no sins, but he took our sins. And when God put sin on his son, he slew his son. He forsook his son. And he took his son's blood as an offering. He made his soul an offering for sin. He poured out his soul unto death. And God said, I saw the travail of his soul and I was satisfied. And if God's satisfied with him and his blood, then if I'm in Christ, he's satisfied with me. That's why we do this. And oh, we show his death that he actually put away sin by that blood. By that broken body and that blood, the scripture said their sins and iniquities will I remember against them no more. Why? Because he once, in the end of the world, put away sin. Put away sin. Did you hear what I said? He put away sin. Oh, I had mountains and mountains of them. Mountains and mountains and mountains of them. He put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. Oh, that's what we're talking about. That's what we're talking about. As often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. That's the things we show. And then look what he says back up here in verse 25. And he said, after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup, now listen to this now, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. The New Testament. The Old Testament. The covenant. The Old Covenant. The law. There was without the shedding of blood, but they had to offer the same blood over and over and over, which never took away sin. Never satisfied God. But he said, this New Testament. This new covenant. My blood's in this new covenant. They'll never be offered again. It'll never be offered again. Offered once. Once he entered into the holy place once with his own blood and obtained eternal redemption for us. Huh? Listen, this new testament, this covenant of grace, they get up every day and they'd offer a morning lamb, then offer an evening lamb. A fellow sinned, he'd bring him a dove, he'd bring him a lamb, he'd bring him a bullock, he'd bring something. He had to have a sacrifice. Christ said, my blood is the last blood that'll be shed ever. And you know what it says? He said, for many. What? How? What many? As many as received him. As many as believed on him. As many as were ordained to eternal life. But this blood is shed for many for the remission, the payment of sin. And then it shows us our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Take heed. Take heed. This is my body. We're taking that bread and taking that wine shows by the grace of God we take Christ to be our all in all. We take his blood to cleanse us, his body to save us from our sins when his body was broken for us. And so, beloved, by the enabling grace of God, we trust Christ and receive Christ. And then I want to show you over here, look with me over here in verse chapter 10 and verse 16. I want to show you this. And this shows you the unity of the church. It shows the unity of the church. The unity of the church. He says here in verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, Our Lord took the bread and gave thanks, took the wine and gave thanks. The cup of blessing we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ, our union with Christ and our union with one another? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Our union together over these things. We're unified in these things. We're gathered together, together. This is the body of Christ he's talking about here. Because that's what he said, for we being many are one bread and one body, and all of us are partakers of that one bread. So our unity, our union and our unity is through Christ's body and blood. That's our unity. That's our unity. You know why churches split so much and bust up so much? It's because they have a half a dozen different things going on in the church. When everybody that hears the same thing, believes the same thing, and they understand Christ is all, what's there to fuss about? We ain't going to fight over that. Oh, my. And then last of all, back here in chapter 11, verse 26. And all it shows us we're going to do this until our Lord comes again. We're going to do this till our Lord comes again. We was talking about this afternoon, talking about Christ coming back. And boy, when I start thinking about him coming back, I get happy. I've looked so forward to it. But look what he says here in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death. Listen to this. Till he comes. We're going to do this till the Lord comes. We're going to do this till he comes to get us one by one, or he comes to get us all at the same time. And I tell you, he may come get us all here pretty soon. Oh my, wouldn't that be something? That trump sound. Woo! That big old trump would have blowing. The sky bust open. Christ stepping on them clouds. coming down here and say, come up here. Come up here. Oh, that's what we're showing till he comes.